All right, so tonight, as we said, we are talking about the beautiful, magical Ouija board. It gives me the shivers just talking about it.
They're scary.
I know, they are scary. So you guys know my history with the effing Ouija board. I won't go into all the details again. Read the book, but... So for those of you that don't know, I D'd around with a Ouija board when I was like 15. And all kinds of craziness ensued. And it was like, I mean, activity all over our house. And I had bruises and we like it was the freaking black plague. It was ridiculousness, like all the crap that went down. So I will talk about it maybe a little later, like go into more detail. But there is an episode where we talk. Maybe it's like the very first episode.
It could have been. It was like, early on.
Yeah, it was like way early. And then I've like talked about it since. So, yeah, I have a yucky history with the Ouija board and it's just not my friend.
Yeah, I was actually very surprised when you said you wanted to do an episode on the Ouija board. Mm-hmm. I was like, ooh, she's tackling it.
Right? I mean, it's just, it's cardboard. How scary can it be? Evidently very.
Right.
So here's what's fun about this episode is that and this is fun about, I think like every episode we do, is I learn so much stuff. Things that I did not expect I would learn. And it's really fun when our friends to the show write to us and say, oh my God, I had no idea that this happened. Or I think Poltergeist was one where they're like, yeah, I've heard that story so many times and I had no idea that this was part of that story. Or, you know, so that's always a lot of fun. So with this, the Ouija board, let's start off and talk about the mother effing history of this piece of cardboard. So do you want to go first or do you want me to go? Like,
no, that's fine. I can go first. Okay.
Let's talk about this.
Because I was actually surprised at how far back the history
yes.
of the Ouija board goes.
Yes.
I mean, it's also known as the spirit board, the talking board, mm-hmm. and I mean, the Chinese used it
mm-hmm.
like way back in 1100 mm-hmm. AD. And
which is crazy because right. well, not crazy that they used it. It's crazy there. It's really, really difficult to find, like to trace down the origin of the Ouija board. And it wasn't always called the Ouija board, of course, like it's gone by many different names. And I'm sure
which I didn't know.
Yeah. And I'm sure like in Asia and these other continents and stuff, they weren't like the Ouija board. It didn't get that name till like, I think the 1800s. But it's right. just cool that. In history, like way back, they were using some variation of this very tool.
Right. This talking board.
Mm-hmm.
But it finally got forbidden because they used it, I guess, back during the Song Dynasty. And then the Qing Dynasty, Q-I-N-G, Qing
sure.
Dynasty, actually forbid it. And that... I was like, whoa.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for them to forbid it way back then, you figure that was anywhere in 16, 17, 1800s
mm-hmm.
that they forbid the use of this talking board. And then here comes us Americans.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, let's mass produce it.
Right.
Yeah, it's like, you crazy people.
Sorry, guys. My dragons are at it tonight. Okay, so... For you guys that don't know what a Ouija board is, let me break it down for you. So I said it is a piece of cardboard. That's true. It wasn't always a piece of cardboard. It used to be made out of wood. And because it goes back so far, it was likely made out of stone and other materials that we don't even know about. But so it is a rectangular piece of thick cardboard, like 18 by 20 or 22, something like that. I don't know the exact dimensions. And the board has the alphabet A to Z displayed in two like semicircle rows, like kind of in the middle of the board or the bottom two thirds. I don't know. So it also has the sun, a picture of the sun in the top left corner with the word yes, just to the right of the sun. And then in the top right corner is a half moon with a star with the word no, just to the left of that. And then at the very bottom of the board are the numbers 1 through 0. And by that, I mean 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 0. So that's what
I always thought was funny.
Yeah, isn't that strange? I'm like, why not start with zero?
Right.
That's retarded.
Right. Zero should be at the beginning.
Yeah. I don't understand. It's just, I don't know. In any event, so the board comes with a planchette, and the planchette is now a piece of plastic, and it's heart-ish shaped or teardrop shaped.
And saying that's a new word for me too.
Yeah, the planchette.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was the little piece of plastic with the
right.
with the circle.
The plastic
in the middle.
Thingy. Right. Right. No, when I've told my Ouija board stories, I've never ever used the word planchette.
Never.
So had I used it prior to today, you would have known that there was someone in my body. It wasn't me. Because that is not one of my words.
No, that word's not my vocabulary.
No, not at all. So the planchette, the little plastic thingy, is heart-ish shaped or teardrop shaped. And it has like a little plastic window. And when it moves about the board by itself, via spirit, whatever, it will either point to a letter with the point of the planchette, or the little window moves over a letter or number. Like that's how it is. So you ask a question and an answer is provided via the alphabet and numbers, or the yes and no, the sun and the moon. I believe those are like good morning, good night, whatever. Have a great sunny day. I don't know. So that's really how it is. And so you place your fingers, like your fingertips on the planchette, you and maybe some friends that are not going to, you know, be D's to you. And you guys play along and ask the questions. And so really it was meant to be, or originally it was not an evil thing. It was for fun. And it was even marketed as like family entertainment, fun with, oh God, how did they word it? It'll come to me. But it originally was meant for good. And that's how people saw it. Because back at that time, there were, you know, mediums were popular. Spiritualism was popular.
Right.
It was a big thing. And it was more of like the lifespan was shorter. Like people were living maybe 50 years in like the 1800s, 1900s. And it was, you know, women dying during childbirth, children dying of diseases, men in wars. And so people were...
Right. And you had the Civil War going on.
Yeah. People were hungry to communicate with their loved ones and whoever else. And so it was a tool of good. And that's really where, you know, it gained its popularity. And really, I think, if I remember correctly, based on my research, and it was really the mediums that made it popular, because mediums in like the 1800s would use different methods, like I think it's called table turning, where they ask these questions and then they go through the alphabet letter by letter, and the table would like knock on the floor when it got to a letter that it needed. Like, you know, if it's like hi, it's H and I.
Yeah, that would take forever.
Yeah, it would take forever. They would also attach planchettes to their fingers, and like the planchette had a pencil point, and they would write like that. Like whoever was communicating could use the planchette to write. The problem with that is you can't read crap. It's like doctor's writing,
right?
Which is maybe where like chicken scratch came from. I don't know. It's like if you put the planchette on a chicken's foot, might as well have. So mediums started doing things like using a table or a piece of wood or whatever and writing the alphabet and using the planchette on that. And that is, you know, theoretically where the Ouija board came from. It was from the mediums.
Yep, the mediums brought it back.
Or the smalls and the larges, I don't know.
Ba-dum-bum. But what I thought was interesting, and I may have heard this before, that the Ouija board, the word Ouija was actually created and named in one of my favorite cities, Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was neat.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh.
Yeah, I saw a few different things. So there was like one of the, I read something about the name came from the actual board itself, where they asked it what it wanted to be called, and it said Ouija.
Yeah. It
right?
named itself.
Yeah. So there's that. And then there's, you know, somebody else combined German and French, I think, and came up with, you know, Wii for yes, and the G was for something else. I don't remember what it was for, but the name itself, Ouija, is supposed to mean good luck. That was not my experience.
Yeah.
Maybe it's good luck to you, sucker.
Yeah. It's like good luck with that.
What is the context?
Right.
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know if I buy into that good luck nonsense. I'm like, you're putting me on.
I don't know.
You are putting me on. So, yeah, the way, I mean, this is the 1800s we're talking about with the mediums and the different methods they were using. So it did gain its popularity like that, or so it's, you know, theorized. So in like late 1800s, also known as New York Daily Tribune, like they start writing about this, the talking board and how it's so big in Ohio and whatever. And right then everyone had to have one. But one of the supposed fun things about it is, hey, you can make your own. All you need is a jackknife and a marking brush, which, I mean, stop. Just stop. But they weren't mass producing them then. They weren't, you know, people really were making their own. And in Ohio, I guess everyone was making a Ouija board or a talking board or a spirit board or whatever they called it. So, you know, in the late 1800s, I think it was like 1890, these three businessmen got together and are like, hey, guys, we have this great idea. Let's create this board. Let's get the patent for it and start selling it. So to get the patent, they had to go meet with a patent officer and prove to him that this toy, quote unquote toy, actually works. And so I think like only one person in the room knew this patent officer's name. So that person was not involved in, like, you know, fingertips on the planchette and that whole thing. So I think it was the patent officer and somebody else, and the patent officer said, spell my name. And the planchette proceeded to go to each letter of his name and spelled out his name. He was officially impressed and gave them the patent. Crazy.
Crazy.
Right? And so I bet everyone in the room was like, oh God, please perform. Spirit, oh spirit. So very crazy. So yeah, it's, I don't even know. To be in that room, and I don't know, like, I could not be in a room right now with a Ouija board. There's no way in hell.
No.
Mm-mm.
No.
It just is not fun to me. To me, I'm like, I want to run far, far and fast.
There's been too many scary negative experiences mm-hmm. for me to even want it.
Oh, yeah.
Anywhere around me.
Good Lord.
I mean, I had one. I had one. Did as you? A kid. Yeah, you know, sure. Put Ouija board in the Christmas list. Sure. What the heck? But yeah, I took it out and I sat on my bed and nothing happened.
Oh, good.
And I'm like, okay, you're boring. Mm-hmm. Like, put back in the box, back in the closet.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where it stayed.
Yeah. No, 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 no. Okay. So is it actually good or evil? I think it could be both.
Depends on what comes out that day.
What your attitude is like.
Right. Well, I think it's, you know, what are you asking it? What shows up?
Right.
I mean, I think even the guy that ended up doing the mass productions,
mm-hmm.
I think his name was actually on the board, Fold. I mean, legend has it that he died because, indirectly.
Oh, right,
died.
Right. It told him to build... Right. This building, and he like fell off the roof.
Yeah,
I read that.
Yep,
I was like, "What the?" F-? Yeah. So he was.
He listened to the Ouija board, built this right. factory, and then fell off the roof.
Right. And he wasn't one of the original three.
No,
he bought later because one of the original three sold, and when he sold, it went from. Oh God, how did it go? So it was the Kennard Novelty Company. I think it was somebody Kennard, and he was one of the three, and he left, and then Fold bought in, and he officially named it Ouija, the Ouija board. So now, like, when you buy the board in the box, like, it has it in big letters on the front, and so that is the big name of this quote-unquote toy.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Toy my foot.
Yeah, so when he bought it, it became the Ouija Novelty Company. And then it went, I think it that went on until the 60s or something when Parker Brothers bought it, right?
Yeah, I last knew it as Parker Brothers.
Yeah, and then I think it was in 91 that Parker Brothers sold to Hasbro, and now it's Hasbro. So they have the patent and all the Ouija rights and all the...
Yeah,
Ouija Evil.
Yeah, when I was a kid, I owned the Parker Brothers board. Yeah.
I don't know which one I had. I didn't look at it long enough. So, good or evil? Like I said before, when it was originally marketed, it was both Mystical, Oracle, and Family Entertainment. And the way they said it, like, this was their wording, Family Entertainment, fun with an element of otherworldly excitement. Seriously. I mean, otherworldly excitement? Yes. Being stabbed in the night? Yes. That sounds exciting.
Yeah, getting bruises.
So it was, like we said, with the history, there was a lot of spiritualism, a lot of people using this tool for good, just wanting to, you know, communicate with their loved ones on the up and up. And it wasn't until The Exorcist came out in the 70s, it was like early 70s, I think, mid something, I don't know. So it wasn't until that movie came out that suddenly it was a tool of evil. Because in that movie, the star, Reagan, the lead, she plays with this board that she finds in the attic of her home. And suddenly, like, you know, her behavior starts to change and she becomes possessed and is, you know, projectile vomiting and doing all kinds of crazy crap. So, and it all stemmed from this Ouija board. And, you know, am I saying for one second that every experience, you know, in the 1800s and even before that was super positive and rainbow bright? Hell no.
No. Well, no. But I think for it to be used so much back then that, I mean, there was something to it. They were definitely talking to the other side. I mean, they got enough validation to keep using it.
Right.
So.
Yeah, they definitely did. I mean.
But it's like what we always talk about. Did they protect themselves? Did they set the rules? Did they, you know, how did they use that tool? Because that's something that you and I are taught every time we learn something new. Okay, this is how you protect yourself. This is how you use it safely. Okay, now you just threw all of these talking boards out there with no set of protection instructions.
Well, that was actually part of their marketing plan, is to make it vague, and it just adds more mystery. So no, I'm with you. I'm like, listen, this thing should come with some holy water and some crystals and like a solid 9 angels, like good angels. But in order to nothing in order
to protect yourself.
Yeah
So you unleash this Ouija board on, you know, 2 million teenagers, and you know what do you think's gonna happen?
Yes, the gates of hell.
Right.
I mean, I'm not even talking with the board, just 2 million teenagers. So, no, I totally agree with you. There is no kind of warning. There's no, but it's also a toy, or it's supposed to be.
That's how it's marketed.
Right. It's supposed to be a toy. So, you know, are they going to throw in a bag of salt and, you know, some crucifixes and crucify? They're not going to throw all that crap in. They're just like, here you go, kids. No. Get assaulted by the ghosts.
Yeah, but I think in the hands of a proper medium, it was probably used correctly.
Yeah, and I have heard, I can't even remember what podcast it was on, but I do remember someone interviewing a medium that uses a Ouija board, and she is all about it. It's like one of her favorite things to use. And the whole time I was like cringing. I'm like, there's no effing way. No, ma'am.
So knowing what we know now, knowing how to protect, knowing how to use, you know, rainwater and crystals and all the protection and whatnot, would you be willing to tackle it again?
I try not to use the F word on this show. I think I've been successful so far. But that's a firm F no. So to me, it's like this. If I were in the water, in the ocean, and I got attacked by a shark, right? And I like recover and crap, and like I decide to go back out in the ocean, the chances of me getting attacked by a shark again, very, very slim to none. Very slim to none. I have effed with a Ouija board. I was attacked in a different way. If I attempted to do that crap again, the chances of me getting some craziness are very, very high. <That's> I want no part of that. I would rather be stranded in the ocean. Yes. With like raw meat all around me. Like, that's what I'd rather do. Slide down a slide of blades. That's what I'd rather do. I could name all the things I'd rather do than play with a Ouija board.
Ew. Yeah. Ew.
Mm-mm. Can't do it.
So I take it your answer is no.
Mm-hmm. That's a hard pass. That is a hard pass. So yeah, a lot of history with this thing. Is it good or bad? I think like you said, it really depends on your intention. It depends on how you're protecting yourself. If you're protecting yourself, I think it all matters. I really do.
Yeah. And you mass produce this thing,
mm-hmm.
and you get a bunch of teenage girls who have no idea on the gates that they're going to be opening, mm-hmm. and they have sleepovers and mm-hmm. seances and
yeah,
and with no idea on how to, you know, protect themselves spiritually.
So we're talking about protection and would I do it again? F no. And how, like, if I did it again, you know, things might be different. And I don't believe you. But while we're talking about that, let's talk about what actually is behind the Ouija board. So we know what it's constructed of, how to use it, like the quote unquote rules, what you're supposed to do.
Right.
So do you actually have a spirit or a demon standing next to you? Or sitting on your lap or on your shoulders while you're doing this, moving that planchette around or that plastic thingy?
Well, there have been scientific studies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And what they say, the scientific community says the scientists who actually spent time studying this thing, mm-hmm, which mm-hmm. surprised me that anybody put in that effort. But Michael Faraday described this ideomotor response. And this was back in the 1800s. He was investigating the table turning that you were talking mm-hmm. about. But they believe that their unconscious mind was actually controlling the planchette.
Yes. Yeah. So it's automatic muscular movement is what Marie is talking about. And it's similar to when you use... So... The premise is this, that you internally in your subconscious know what the response is supposed to be. And so your body, without you knowing it or visibly seeing it, whatever the case is, your muscles are moving at a pace where, you know, it's getting this information from your brain and it moves in a way that makes this thing respond. And that's true for like dowsing rods, the pendulum, the planchette. So when you ask this question on this non-conscious level in your mind, because there are many levels of consciousness that process information. So there is the, we'll just call it the non-conscious, which is your autopilot, where that's where your body knows to blink and to breathe and to do all these things. So they're saying in these scientific studies that that is where you get these answers from. Like your... These conscious levels are so much smarter than your conscious level. These non-conscious levels are so much smarter than your conscious level, where you have this information already stored away somewhere. So when you are sitting with your friends at the slumber party and you ask, is anyone in the room? And someone responds and is like, Robert or something, you know, like, is there a connection? There might be a connection to someone in the room.
Right.
So I can see where you get that response, because it's just like a gallery reading. And a gallery reading is where there's a group of people and a psychic medium or a medium would do a reading and is like, who lost the grandfather figure? And, you know, like comes up with all these things to validate. So someone in that room, that information is coming through for them. So same scenario here. Like you have, you know, five middle school age girls and they're all like at this slumber party and playing with the thing. And Robert comes through and maybe he is there to communicate with one of them specifically. So in that case, you know, and let's assume that this girl, this kid or whatever knows about this person and is like, oh yeah, that's my Uncle Robert or whatever. And they're communicating and it's information that only she could know. And so I guess I understand where this would make sense, where on a non-conscious level, she knows the responses to these questions already because she's heard them or she has read them or whatever the hell.
Yeah, she's overheard parents talking.
Right, even in her sleep, whatever. But how about the times when nobody has information? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like maybe you go do, like we've talked about doing some paranormal investigations, you and I. And one of the things we talked about is let's go in cold. Let's pick a place that has activity, but let's not do any research.
Right.
So that we can determine in the end if the information we got was legit.
Sure. Validation.
Right. So say you do that. You go into a place and, you know, let's say we were to do an investigation and we bring a Ouija board, which I just get shivers up my spine. But, you know, so that's the tool we choose to use to get this information. So we get this information and it ends up being totally legit. How in the F are you about to tell me that on some non-conscious level, I already knew that there were seven nurses that were like, you know, slaughtering fingers and crap in this asylum? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
So is this a thing? Yeah, I definitely think this is a thing. I really do. This this theory, this scientific theory and these studies. I don't think this is ridiculous at all. But I do think there's the other side of that where there really are energies that are coming through. You are summoning, you are asking questions. And like I've said before, or like we've talked about before, I don't think you go into something like this or a reading and you're just like, hey, I just want to talk to this one person. So everybody else, you know, close your mouth, close your eyes. Like, it's not like that. It is like a megaphone and you kind of broadcast to everybody and the people that need to come through do.
Yeah. They elbow their way to the front of the room.
Right. Don't you think?
Yeah.
So I think both are true. I do think both are true. I think there is the scientific side that, yeah, there's some proof there. And then I think there's the other side where, explain to me, scientist, how this is a thing. I could have no possible way of knowing this. You know what I mean? I'm like, come on.
I feel you.
Come on.
I feel you.
So, yeah, it's, I mean, interesting for sure. This, the history and the scientific studies, that evidence, like it's really intriguing. It's very intriguing.
Yeah. Just knowing that it was banned in China.
When did they ban it?
They didn't give a year, but I looked up when the Qing dynasty ruled, and it was from the 1600s to the 1900s. So you've got centuries there where they, so it could have been anywhere during that time. But the fact that they banned it and then the Americans said, hey, let's mass produce it.
Right.
I'm like, okay, there's red flag, huge red flag.
Way to go, America.
Profit, almighty dollar.
Okay. So I want to go back to the science for a quick minute. So you have, let's say their stuff is true, which, I mean, I think it is to some extent. It's true. How do you then explain the activity that follows those experiments with a Ouija board? The play sessions, if you will. Do you know what I mean? You do the slumber party, whatever, and right. On a non-conscious level, they knew and the information.
Robert,
so they,
or whatever his name is now following you.
Right. So now you have this activity in your home. And it's after the fact. And you're now like, you know, a week out and your doors open and close on their own where that didn't happen before. And it's middle of summer with no damn breeze. So is that because you've created that environment? So in your mind, you know, and I'm talking like, let's talk present day where now there is this belief that the Ouija board is oh so creepy and it's really negative and summons demons and crap. You know what I'm talking about. So
right, the reputation it has now.
Yeah. So going into it with that thought pattern and then you go play with it and you're like, oh, that was kind of creepy. And now you've got Robert following you around. So if we're going off of the scientific evidence, how do you explain that? Are they going to say like, oh, you created that, you know, in your mind, you created that environment in your mind, almost like a poltergeist?
It's possible. I mean, there's no telling what the scientific community, how they tackle ghosts and demons.
Inquiring minds want to know.
Right. I mean, that could be a whole other episode of the scientific community attacking, or not attacking, but tackling the paranormal.
There's room for both, for sure. I do believe that. I really do believe this scientific evidence that we uncovered during our research. It makes sense. It totally makes sense.
Oh, yeah.
But then there's the other side where I'm like, I didn't fabricate all the stuff that went down. Like many people. Like many. So, you guys know how much we love to tell scary stories. Or at least I do. Marie's along for the ride. She's a good sport. So, now that we got all the history and crap out of the way, let's get to the good stuff.
Oh, Chantel's favorite.
I know. You know I love a good story. I love a good story. So let's tell some stories, some true accounts of Ouija boards. Let's talk about it.
Ooh.
I know, right? It was a dark and stormy night. All right, you go first.
Okay. I don't know whether to start with the easy one or the scariest one. Let's go with scary.
I like scary.
Okay. So, three girls go to play with their Ouija board, and they said things were going fine until one of the girls asked the spirit that they were communicating with how it had died, and it answered, "Murder." She said, "How were you murdered?" And it responded,
"Not I."
Not I. Yeah.
I think I read that one.
Yeah.
That was creepy. That was creepy. Yeah. I was like, oh, God. Yeah.
So it gave him a date of being murdered in the 1800s. And she said the room started to get heavy. The whole room started just felt different. And then the planchette was ripped out of the hands and went across the room.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, okay, we're done.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Smart girls.
Well, her friend, the house they were staying at, her friend's mom died of cancer suddenly a week later.
Mm-hmm.
And then her other friend, her mom, was hospitalized for a drinking problem. And then her own mother had, in that very same week, had an emergency hysterectomy. And then for the next 9 years, voices, shadows, footsteps still haunt this individual.
So
that's creepy.
So it haunted the girl who didn't even live in the house, right?
Right. The girl whose mom had a hysterectomy. She's the one.
Was it her Ouija board? I don't remember.
It doesn't say who the Ouija board.
Yeah, they just went and
to.
Played together they, at yeah, someone's house. Yeah, okay.
Yep. Yeah, the three girls just played together.
That's some creepy junk. Yeah.
That scares me because that could have been. That could have been me. That could have been me right. playing with my
that
friends.
That was me.
You know.
Damn it.
Yeah, but they actually had a family death.
Yeah, so the only weird, or maybe not even weird, the one story or piece I'll pick out is the drunk mom, like, getting hospitalized. She had that coming. She's the heavy drinker.
She might have been sober before.
I don't know. I don't know about that. I feel like if you're going that hard, you've been going that hard for a while. So we're going to take her out of the equation. The other two, I full on buy. I'm like, okay. That easily could have been some
emergency hysterectomy and dying suddenly of cancer.
The otherworldly beings often like to come for female reproductive organs.
Oh, do they? Oh, do they?
One assumes. Imagine. Oh, God. Okay.
I'm going to mess with your reproductive system.
I'm
going to
squeeze your ovary. Oh, Jesus. Okay. I was about 12 or 13. Can't even look at you. Oh, God.
My ovaries are hurting just looking at
you. I know. I feel drunk. All right. I was about 12 or 13, spending the night at a friend's house, goofing around with the Ouija board with him and his sister. We were getting all sorts of gibberish plus words spelled out, just kind of scaring ourselves for fun, not taking it very seriously. Then we got the message, "I can see you through the window." And then, "I can see you through his eyes," or something like that. Yeah, great memory. There was just a small window in the basement room where we were, and just the backyard and woods past the driveway visible through that window. We asked it more questions and it said, "I'm under the car." Get the hell out of here. Oh, Jesus. I'm under the car.
So what is it? They go look under the car. Tell me,
like, what ghost is going to be, like, hanging out under the car?
No, but tell them what they find under the car.
An ovary. Oh, God. Okay. Stop it. Oh, my God. Wouldn't that be crazy? Look under the car. This is a freaking fallopian tube. Okay. Oh, Jesus. I'm under the car. So we somehow got up the nerve to go out with a flashlight and peer under the car, where we saw a huge black stray cat hissing. And on sound effects tonight, Marie Rose. We ran inside freaking out, and at that exact moment, the power failed and all the lights in the house went out. We just about actually crapped ourselves. A few minutes later, the power came back and we sat up until dawn that night scared and never played with the board again. That would have been me. I'd have been like, F okay. that.
Oh, really? Would you have gone outside and looked into the car?
Listen, no.
No.
No. No. That is the first rule in a horror movie. You don't go look for the thing. Like... Go the other way.
Right.
But everyone does.
Oh, yeah.
And you know what's crazy? I have found myself in that very situation where I hear a noise and I go check it out. I'm like, what the hell? Like, I'm pissed off at myself.
Well, that's different. I mean, you're not suspecting Robert, right?
I mean, have you listened to my life? Yes, I am.
I mean, if I hear a strange noise, yeah, I'm going to go investigate. I want to make sure that the cats didn't knock something over.
No, but if you look, like, you hear the noise, you go to get up or, you know, whatever you're doing. I assume you're sitting. And you look, you know, as you're getting up and you're like, oh, one, two cats. Are you still going to go?
Oh, yeah, because something fell over.
Right.
I got to go look. Did something break? Do I have
to? So would I. And then Chucky's in there waiting for us. Or, you know, Ghost of Chucky. I don't know.
Now, if I suspected, and I apologize to all the Roberts out there, but if I suspected Scary Robert.
Sorry, Roberts.
Yeah, then I'm grabbing a baseball bat. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. But, I mean, for me, it's going to be a logical explanation. Mm-hmm. I mean, the scariest thing for me, woken up in the middle of the night by a huge noise, and it was not the cats. But yeah, I go investigate, and it took me 3 days to figure out what that noise ended up being. And it ended up being the spring off the garage door,
mm-hmm.
Broken half, and somebody else had noticed it. Or maybe my garage
door. Oh, that is
door.
So loud, too. Yes,
yeah. Or it could have been my garage door didn't open. That's what it was. That's what it was.
No, that's creepy as hell. I've heard that.
Yeah. No. No scary spirits were visiting me. So something broke, and I got to go find out what it is.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, how much is that noise going to cost me?
You know what trips me out is, like, when you are, it's like you're asleep but not fully asleep. You're kind of in that halfway place. And you hear a loud ass noise and you jump up and you look around and you can almost pinpoint, like, what the sound is. Like, I don't know, a glass falls to the floor and breaks, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
And you go look and there's nothing. And then you're like, what the? Was that in my?
You dreamed it?
Right. Like, was it something I dreamed in that zone, or did it really happen? And it's just a different, like, that always freaks me out.
Yeah. Yeah. Dream. Yes.
Mm-hmm. The dream scare.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And now if I hear something, cause it happened, I think it happened last night. I heard something and it's like, okay, I don't know what that was. And now with everything that's been happening with us these last, mm-hmm. you know, I'm like, Okay, so was that...
The house is yours, Robert.
What was that?
No. Oh, God. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. All right. What you got next?
So, I've got a story of a mom and her two children. She asked them if they wanted to play with a Ouija board. Of course, like all good mothers do. And so they sort of started out as something pretty funny. And, you know, somebody was moving the planchet around and they were spelling words like poop and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And of course, at that age, that was poop is funny. Poops and farts and all that stuff is funny.
How in the hell, of all the stories we could have found, we went to the same effing sites. Like, we read the same stories. I am like, that's how connected me and Maria are.
I read a lot of stories.
I did too.
But I only picked the ones that made me go, oh.
Yeah, they're a little creepy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a little creepy. So then the mom says, okay, let's get serious and let's try to contact someone on the other side.
Ooh, it was a dark and scary night.
Right. So she had a friend that went missing. And he had been missing for about a month, and nobody knew where he was at. So they asked about him, you know, who are we talking to? And it spelled out the name. And let's just say it's Robert. Okay? So
all the Robert eyes out there are mad at us.
Right. So the mom, now getting concerned, says, is this really Robert? He says, yes. And so now she's upset and she's asked Robert, where are you? And the Ouija board responded, in a lake. It just spelled it out. Well, she tried to brush it off, try to be brave for the kids. But I think that was the end of their Ouija board game.
Mm-hmm.
About 2 weeks later, they found Robert. And he had either been hit by a car or something on a bridge because they found his body in a nearby lake.
No doubt.
Right. So, and it was a remote place where, you know, there were not a lot of people. So he'd been missing for about a month, maybe 2 months. And, the Ouija board was right.
Wow. See? How can you answer that, science community? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's creepy.
Yeah, that one creeped mm-hmm. me out. Sorry, Robert.
All the Robert eyes out there. That's plural for Robert.
For all the Bobs.
All right, so we were hanging out in a friend's dorm room and busted out the Ouija board. There were a few of us who had used them before and a few who hadn't that were quite skeptical. It was about 11 p.m. and the communication with the board was going quite well. Gary, one of the skeptics, kept calling BS to the whole thing. We convinced him to sit on the floor with us and give it a shot. His first question, is this for real or just a bunch of BS? The planchette zipped to no. Fine, he says, still not believing. Prove it. No sooner had this butthole finished a statement when the lights in the room flickered and the building's fire alarm went off. This freaked us all out and we left the room to follow the fire alarm procedures. After about 20 minutes, campus safety said it was a false alarm and let us go back to the dorms. When we arrived back up to our friend's room, the Ouija board was gone. Mm-hmm.
Gasp.
None of us took it with us and the room was left locked. Dun, dun, dun.
So where did that Ouija board go?
It was the cleaning lady. It was the Robert eyes. They took it. I don't know. Where the heck did it go?
Oh, it ended up underneath somebody's Christmas tree, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Like, somebody took it with them. Stuck it, like, in the back of their shirt or some crap. I don't know.
That'd be a pretty big thing to stick in your shirt.
The dragons agree. Yeah, that
they're trying to tell us where it went. I know. They know. The puppies know.
It's in the well.
All right, so this is my last one. that creeped me out. So again, teenager, common thread.
You don't say.
Right. So a family member asks the teenager to use the Ouija board to contact her brother who had died at birth. So they thought they were talking to him, and then the personality started to change. He got mean, he got possessive, and then it told them that it had their uncle and it was going to come for them next. So they put this, the teenager blacked out, and when it came to, all the light bulbs in the kitchen had busted, and there was glass everywhere. So they were like, F it. Sorry, uncle. We're never playing this again.
So he came in and made a mess.
Very much so.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a D.
Yeah.
That's pretty rude.
They could have cut themselves. That was mean.
That's the real harm here is they could have cut themselves. Oh, God. That's funny.
Yeah. Bastages.
All right. Well, I have a few more. So, once, right after my ex had lost his friend in an airplane accident, we took the Ouija board out to use it. She was very present. She was very scared and alone and desperate for communication. We stopped using it, and immediately I felt this presence in the corner of the room. I closed my eyes to take a deep breath, and suddenly the pointer started moving rapidly around and going too fast to spell out words. It was terrifying. I refused to use the board again. I immediately felt exhausted, completely and utterly drained. I lay down and had a nap. I was asleep for exactly 30 minutes. I woke up, bolted out of bed, closed my eyes for a second to adjust myself to where I was, and saw this spirit skeletal thing standing in the corner of the room. It suddenly rushed at my face and started screaming at me with a big, gaunt mouth. I opened my eyes and started screaming at my boyfriend to get it off of me. I could feel it, so oppressive and aggressive, trying to get on me. I ran from the house screaming and shaking. I don't think I ever used the Ouija board again. One day, it disappeared from my bedroom. It completely vanished. I have never found it. I have no explanation for what happened to it. The end.
Where's your Ouija board? What'd you do with it?
We burned it.
You burned it?
Yeah. Only to find out, you know, some years ago that's just not what you do. I was like, oh, great. Great. Because then you release anything that's attached to it.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. You're supposed to like bury it or some crap. I don't know. It swims with the fishes in a block of concrete. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember what happened to mine. It's either sitting in a closet at my parents' house or we gave it away, one or the other.
It ended up at the yard sale.
Yeah, it could have.
Some poor soul bought it.
It could have. I have no idea what happened to my old Ouija board. Yeah, next time I'm at my parents' house, I'm going to have to go look in the closet.
Do not bring it home.
No, I just want to see if it's there or not.
And then what?
Oh, I'll take it to Goodwill. Who knows?
A gift for you, world.
Well, I'm not going to burn it.
Oh, God. Yeah, no. No, don't. Or, you know, do whatevs. Let's see what happens.
No.
All the Robert eyes will be at your house.
No.
I'm with you.
No.
Mm-mm. Maybe don't even look. Just leave it. Wherever it is.
Well, if it's in my parents' house, I want it out now. After learning all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I want it out. If it's in the house, I want it out.
Mm-hmm. Just get it out carefully.
Yeah.
Via fire.
You figure it's probably already it's got cobwebs on it. And
mm-hmm.
Things.
For to seal the box.
But you know what? In talking about this, there could be a reason why it never worked for me. I mean, my mom is very, very religious, and she's got religious artifacts all around the house. So maybe it was just, I mean, in hindsight and knowing what I know now, maybe the house was just protected.
Yeah, agreed.
And I mean, so I had this worthless toy that, you know, wasn't going to work, and I just never tried it again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you could be right.
Yeah. Theory. Yeah. Hindsight's 2020.
Hindsight. Okay. When I was between 12 and 14, one girl brought a Ouija board to my friend's birthday/slumber party. I was pretty skeptical, but also really curious about it, as I'd never used one before. We took turns asking questions, and I just figured someone else was moving the planchette. How did she know the word planchette at 14?
I don't know. That's why I think she's making it up.
She's from Dawson's Creek. The other girls were pretty creeped out, but I wasn't until it answered a question for me that nobody else knew the answer to. To this day, I can't explain how that answer appeared or any of the other paranormal experiences that happened after we put the board away. I truly believe that we contacted something and it stuck around. There were just generally a lot of small things like footsteps above us when we were on the top floor. The door kept swinging open on its own, and the girl who lived there said it never did that on its own before then.
Well, that was similar to your experience, right?
Right? Yeah. Mm-mm. The creepiest part was that a bunch of us randomly woke up around 4 or 5 in the morning, and a few girls saw a black figure walking down the street outside the window. Apparently, one of the girls had seen what they thought was the same figure with his face at the window on the second floor. Right? So Robert and I was hovering.
Yeah, I would have screamed my head off.
Right? Yeah.
I don't care if it was 4 in the morning. I am waking up the entire hood.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Agreed. Yes.
Gosh, so, I'm glad I didn't go to slumber parties like that.
I know. So when I was like 4 or 5, I had taken a nap and woke up. And like we had a really small apartment in New York. And I shared the room with one of my aunts and my grandmother. And so I woke up to find like I was by myself in the room. The light is on, like it's dark outside. And as I go to get up from the bed, I look toward the window and there's like legit a man just like looking in the window with a stocking on his head.
What?
Yes. So let me be clear. We were on like the third, fourth. I don't know, something like that. And he was not hovering. He was on the fire escape. But, you know, we're in New York. We were in Queens. Like, robberies happen all the time. So I ran, like, to get my grandma. And, like, she was taking a bath. And my aunt was sitting in there, like, reading to her or something. I don't remember what was going on. But they both, like, jump out of the bathroom and come to see what's going on. And the guy was, you know, he was long gone.
He's like, oh, hell no. I'm not going to deal with this trio.
Well, you know, I'm like, if you know who lives here, why are you even messing around? My grandmother was nothing to mess with. Like, it was ridiculous. So,
well, maybe he was on to somebody else's. He was on his way and he just
stopped to check out the scenery.
You were in the path.
He's like, wow, she looks like a pain in the ass.
He was on his way to the fourth floor.
He was. Maybe like his foot got stuck. I don't know. And I assumed he was just peering in. That was creepy to see.
Yeah.
That was super creepy.
And for a little girl? Oh my gosh.
I know. That was super creepy. And I don't even remember like how long it was after that our house ended up getting like so robbed. It was not even funny.
Oh no.
Yes. Like we came home. So we, like a little diversion. Sorry guys. So we left to go visit my mom, who was in the Marine Corps at the time and lived in Quantico. And my grandmother and I left first, and we took the beloved Greyhound. I will never forget all the Greyhound travels of my youth. So we went to visit her, and my aunt followed like a few days later. And I remember her saying when she got to Quantico or when we were on our way back home, I don't remember when, but I specifically remember her saying that she left the radio on so people would think there was someone home.
Okay. Makes sense.
Right. So we, the three of us, travel back together, get to the door. And as my grandmother goes to unlock it, she turns to my aunt and is like, I thought you left the radio on. She's like, I did leave the radio on. It's like crickets inside. So she opens the door and it is destruction.
Oh no, they ransacked it?
Oh my God. It was a freaking mess. From the front door to like halfway through the living room, there was a line of stuff they were coming back for. Like they put the stuff in a line and they were coming back for it. There was like splintered wood and knives and like it was a mess. They took showers. Like it was like they
what?
Knew. Yes. It was ridiculous.
You
so
think it was somebody you knew?
Somebody, maybe my aunt knew. I don't know that, you know, she trusted somebody and said like, oh yeah, I'm going to be gone. And it had to be. It definitely had to be. So It was crazy. So we like went and stayed at a friend of my grandmother's, and then like, I don't think it was long after that we moved. We were out.
Well, yeah. I mean, you don't feel safe in a place like Mm-mm. that after an event like that.
Oh, yeah. It was craziness. That's so horrible. Nothing to do with the Ouija board, but creepy.
No, we'll just blame the Ouija board. We're going to blame Robert. We
will. Thanks, Robert.
I hope you enjoyed that shower.
I know. Butthole. So... yeah, this is just fun. I really enjoyed doing this episode. It was fun to read up on the history, which I never cared to look at before because I barely like saying Ouija board. But now, I mean, you know, whatevs.
Well, I think it kind of reinforces mm-hmm. everything that you've been through.
Mm-hmm.
You are not alone.
No.
I mean, it's not like
you... I'm under the car. No, it definitely does. Like, I have wondered about the history before, but never enough to actually go look into it. So it was fun to learn that stuff. And there's no, like I said before, and I think Marie said the same thing, the true origins of, like, where it initially started, we don't know. Like, it goes way back in history. At least we don't know in our country. No one's been able to track it down. So maybe in another country. Who knows? It's the door rattling.
It's Robert. Robert's at the door and he's rattling the door.
Robert, we're recording. Stop. Oh, God. Oh, God.
Happy Halloween.
I know. So, yeah, there is a longstanding history. And maybe in some of these other countries, just like... with Reiki and everything else, like the place of origin, like it started as something very different. So I wonder what it actually started as, what it was originally like, and what its original intention was. And then, you know, it evolves over time and,
right,
you know, you lose like the original cast. So you don't have all the historical information on something and you just are like, oh, I'm going to make it up as I go. I assume this is for talking to my...
Ooh, well...
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And I wonder, because now I'm thinking back to my pendulum class and how we laid things out on the floor and we were taught to use the pendulum to go, you know, to ask it a question and it would move in whatever direction.
Mm-hmm.
And there's different patterns out there. You know, for different things and, you know, depending on your question. And I wonder if it started with something like that
mm-hmm.
and then just evolved into shapes and the alphabet of that particular country. And
yeah,
and
it's likely
mm-hmm. things that make you go,
I know, right? The more, you know,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then, it gets mass produced and put in the hands of teenagers and off you go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was, I think it was a lot of fun learning about this and reading up on the history and the scientific experiments they did to figure out how it's actually powered. And
I want to know where they got the funding to do these experiments. Right? Because some of these scientific experiments, I mean, they're as recently as 2012.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody actually funded that.
Yeah. Like had to submit a written request, like a grant paper. And it's like, can I get some money to figure out how this Ouija board works? That's crazy. Yeah. That is crazy.
Yeah.
So it was a fun episode. I had a blast doing this and reading all those stories and just picking out the ones that kind of gave me the creeps.
Fun as always, mm-hmm. my dear.
Always fun. Always fun. So with that, you guys, we are wrapping up this episode of the Ouija board or the spirit board or whatever you want to call it.
With our ovaries intact.
Oh, yeah. The wonderful talking board and all the Robert eyes and the fallopian tubes. And this was a lot of fun. I always have a blast recording with my bestie Marie. Mwah. And you know, if there's anything you guys want to hear, anything specific, make sure you let us know, because we are here to entertain you and you alone. And do not forget, we want to hear all your stories. So if you guys have your own Ouija board stories, make sure you send them to us at themediummatters@gmail.com, or you can submit them on Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram, whatever. If you come up with another form of social media, holla at us. Let us know. So make sure that you follow us on Snapchat and Twitter at Media Matters, and on Facebook and Instagram at The Media Matters. And again, if you have anything you want to submit to us, questions, stories, suggestions, love notes, whatever, send those to themediummatters@gmail.com. And tune in again next week when we bring you even more fun. And we're outie. Good night, you guys.